Welcome to the weekly podcast of Soul Purpose Evangelical Church, located in the city of Middletown, New York. Today's message will be brought to you by our senior pastor, Reverend Albert Feliciano Sr. Each week, we stream our live recorded services to encourage, build up, and edify our listening audience. Our aim is to share with you the uncompromised and infallible word of the living God. Our prayer is that today's message will draw you closer in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And now, here is Pastor Albert with today's word.
The title of my message this morning is The Power and Benefits of Praise. God has me on this subject since Wednesday. Praise God, it's been in my spirit all week. The Power and Benefits of Praise. We're going to read a few verses of Scripture found in Psalm 92, verses 1 through 4. Psalm 92, verses 1 through 4. If you have it, say amen. Matter of fact, say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How about that? Beginning at verse number 1, and the word of the Lord says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night, on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. Hallelujah. Praise God. Saints of the Most High, you may take your seats this morning. Now, I'm going to get this out of the way quickly. Praise God. Saints of God, if you were here or if you tuned in to Wednesday's class, there was a prophetic word that came. Some of you might already know what I'm talking about, but the reality is there is indeed a storm coming. The rolls of the black, dark clouds are already on their way to Soul Purpose Evangelical Church. They're on their way to the families of this house. And I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus Christ, have no fear. Fear not, says the Lord, for I am with you. I shared on Wednesday that a storm is coming, and it's coming to try to ravish our people. It's trying to destroy families. It's trying to destroy husbands and wives. It's trying to destroy children. It's trying to destroy leaders, pastors. It's trying to destroy everyone in this house. Those that are plugged into the power of praise, they're going to praise their way through the storm. And those who are not plugged in, guess what? They're going to get swept away by the storm. So the advice to you this morning is really simple. Plug into praise. Praise your way. Praise for your life. Praise for your children. And that is the end of the talking of the storm. I'm not going to give too much credence to a storm. I said it. God said, bring it up and be done with it. So we're going to move on. Praise God. Praise is the antidote to the storms of life. Praise. The Bible started here by saying it is good to praise the Lord. There is power in praise. Praise and worship are different. Glory to God. Praise is not the fast songs as some people might think. If you ask them, what is praise? Some people will actually say, well, praise is the fast tempo music, the fast songs that we sing, and worship is the slow songs. But that's not the case. Praise is not the fast song. It is not the slow song. And more importantly, it is not the setting of the table to prepare your heart for the word. There is no scripture. There's no basis of that. But I will say this, it does set your heart. It does prepare your heart to receive what God has for you. It does take you out of the flesh and puts you into the spirit when you start praising the Lord. But that is not the design of praise. Praise, like I said earlier this morning, is an expression of admiration or gratitude unto the Father. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I said? Praise is an expression of gratitude, an expression of admiration. Worship is when you want to honor God, when you want to love God and cherish God and love the Lord your God, when you want to reverence Him. But when you praise Him, it's an expression of your body that completes your act of worship. Let me tell you this, praise isn't a feeling. Praise isn't a feeling. It is an expression. That means it's an action word, a moving word, an action word, a verb. It is impossible to praise the Lord without movement. There was an illustration given on Wednesday night where, you know, there's always somebody. There's always a heckler in the room. There's always what I call hater. There's always a hater around. There's always somebody that tries to throw a monkey wrench in the plan. And they say, well, Pastor, if praise is the expression of movement of your body, what about a quadriplegic mute? How are they going to worship God if they can't move and they can't speak? And the reality is, like I said Wednesday, listen, if you got to blink to the glory of God, you do whatever it is that you have to do, but you worship the Father. The real question is not about the quadriplegic mute, because that has to do with him and God or she and God. Don't worry about that. Let God decide what that works, what that looks like for the quadriplegic. The reality is, what are you doing? How are you praising the living God? Thank you, sister. The reality is most people don't want to worship God, and they're really looking for an excuse or some kind of exception so that they don't have to worship God, they don't have to praise God, they don't have to lift up hands, they don't have to stand up, they don't have to move, they just want others to do it, and they'll just sit around and watch everybody. The real reason is they just don't love the Lord enough themselves to praise Him. There's only one thing on earth that does not praise the Lord. And let me qualify this, because even the birds praise the Lord. They sing in the morning. The trees clap their hands. The ocean waves roar and clap their hands. Everything on earth praises the Lord. The bees praise the Lord. The cows, everything praises the Lord. Everything. Everything praises the Lord. Except not all people praise the Lord. And we are created in Christ's image. We're created in the image of God. We look like Him. Of all creation, the only things on planet Earth, as a matter of fact, the only things in the universe that look like God is we, people. We are created to praise the Lord. We are created for worship. But there's only one thing on earth that does not praise the Lord. Listen to this. It's a devotional from Derek Prince. It says, the Bible exhorts every area of creation and every kind of creature to praise the Lord. The Bible exhorts the heavens, the earth, the sea, the forest, the rocks. There is nothing that should not praise the Lord. It speaks about all kinds of creatures and flying creatures and creatures of the sea, crawling creatures, cattle, wild beasts. It speaks about all the states of the human race, kings and princes and young men and old men and maidens and children. All are exhorted to praise the Lord. In fact, there's only one category of people that do not praise the Lord. And do you know who that is? The dead. Only the dead do not praise the Lord. My dear friend, if you do not praise the Lord, do you know what your problem is? You are among the dead. Not necessarily physically dead, but spiritually dead. Come alive. Begin to praise the Lord. The more you praise the Lord, the more joy and spiritual life you'll experience. Begin to praise Him right now. Hallelujah. Listen to what the Word of God says. Psalm 115. It is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to silence. It is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Brother Allen, who's not here, he's in Cape Cod, but Brother Allen taught on Wednesday night a few weeks ago, And he had said something that is very true. There is no word in the Bible which means to stand motionless and idle and do absolutely nothing to praise the Lord. There's no Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic or Russian or Spanish. There ain't no word that means you could praise God without movement. And I was actually confronted at the end of one of those services on Wednesday. A brother came up and said, what about Psalm 46:10? You know what Psalm 46:10 is? That says, be still and know that I am God. So let me just break it down a little bit. Amen? Because some people just miss it. Hallelujah. I love my brother, but he missed it. Praise God. The word, when the Bible says, be still and know that I am God, it doesn't mean to do this. That's not what it means. It means continue to function. Continue to do your job. Continue to occupy while I am gone. But know that I'm working it out on your behalf. So while you wait, instead of fearing, instead of fretting, instead of pouting, instead of frowning, be still and know that I am God. It means just continue to function and occupy and watch me work it out on your behalf. Idleness is not of the Lord. The Bible calls every single person to praise the Lord in the good times, in the bad times. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, Psalm 156, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. 71:8, let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day long. Psalm 71:14, but I will hope continually and will praise you yet even more and more. In other words, I'm not going to start manifesting when things don't turn out right. Hallelujah. Psalm 119:164, seven times a day I will praise you because of your righteous judgments. Let me ask a question. How many times a day do you praise the Lord? Do you know the Muslims pray five times a day, faithfully? That's how they earn their way into the 70 virgin land. I'm serious. That's what they believe. They believe that they'll get to paradise and earn 70 virgins, which is mind-boggling stupidity to me. But they believe that. And so if they pray five times a day and God is saying, bless the name of God at least seven times a day, how many times are you praising the Lord in the course of a day? Psalm 146, 1 and 2. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord because I'm not dead. Hallelujah. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to God, my God, while I have my being. What does that mean, Pastor? That you don't have to wait till you go to the grave because it's too late then to praise the Lord. You know how many people die in their sin and then they see that this is all real. Everything is real. It's too late for me to praise the Lord now. Now I can't say, Lord, I just didn't have the right advice. I didn't have the right counsel. No, now he'll say, let's go to the videotape. Bam. And he's going to show you every single time you've had an opportunity to bless the Lord for his greatness, for his goodness, for his mercy. Every time he delivered you from something, you won't be able to pretend anymore. We must praise God with our entire being. Praise is our expression. Why? Because Psalm 22:3, it says, thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. This is so important because we have to understand what this means. That means God is enthroned. The New King James Version, it says, you are holy. You are enthroned on our worship, on our praises, right? Listen to this word, enthroned. What does that mean when God is enthroned in our worship? It means we set up a throne for God to sit upon when we're worshiping him and praising him in spirit and in truth. Now, here's a big problem. If God lives and dwells among the people of praise and praise invokes his presence, then what type of chair are we setting up for the living God? I'm going to give you a quick example. I shared this on Wednesday, but I'm going to share it again. The author of the book that we're studying, How to Worship a King, he spoke about a guy in his church that literally looked like Jesus, had long hair, beard. He had the perfect image of the European Jesus, because we know Jesus was a dark-skinned man. But that's another story for another day. But he looked like European Jesus, right? And he had the beard, and he had everything, and the long hair. And so the guy says, the worship leader says, listen, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to dress up like Jesus. And I want you to hide outside of the sanctuary. And during worship, we're going to call on you to come in. So what happens is he's playing, and he's saying, you know, many will see you and fear you, Lord, right? Put their trust in. As they're worshiping God, all of a sudden, there's a knock on the sanctuary door. And this knock goes on, and the worship leader says, hey, do you hear the knocking on the door? Do you hear the knocking? Well, answer the door. And one of the ushers goes and opens up the door, and Jesus comes into the sanctuary. And he walks in, and he goes right up to the altar. And everybody's like, whoa. He goes, hey, do you know Brother AJ? You know Sister India? You know Sister Nivia? Yes, I know them very well. Yes, how you doing? And and the little kids are like, wow, Jesus is in the house. Let's give it up. Jesus. Right? And he comes into the altar, and then this is what happens. The worship leader takes out a chair, a little dollhouse chair from his daughter's dollhouse. And he takes the chair, and he puts it on the altar. A little chair. You can see the size of that finger on the screen. He takes out the chair, puts it on the altar, and he says, Jesus, come and sit on the chair. And Jesus says, hey, wait a minute. You expect me to sit on that? He says, yes, this is the worship we have set aside for you. This is our praise. Come and sit on the chair. And Jesus is like, no, I don't know if you understand. I can't sit on that chair. It's too small. It won't support my weight. You know. And he goes, but come anyway. Just sit. He goes, I'll tell you what. I'll come back another time. Peace out. And Jesus walks out of the sanctuary. And everybody's like, where did he go? Where did he go? The reason why he couldn't stay was because the chair was too small. How big is the chair that you have set aside for your Savior to sit upon? Some of our praise is so tiny and so insignificant, we might be there and we might go, you know, we'll give a clap or two in the whole worship set. But you want God to come in and sit upon the throne of your worship when you won't even worship the living God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who gave his life for you? Isn't there something that you're grateful to God for? Isn't there something that he did? How about this? Even if he didn't do nothing for you, did he not save your children? Did he not put food in their belly? Isn't there a roof over your head? Isn't there a car in your driveway? There's got to be something that God has done that is worthy of praise. There are numerous invitations in Scripture to praise God, to join into praise. Listen to this. In Psalm 107, there's four verses. This is for the men. 1, 2, 3. Yes. Hallelujah. There goes my brothers. Listen. It says, oh, that men. I got to say that again. Oh, that men. It's an interjection. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Four times that verse is repeated word for word in that passage of Scripture. Oh, that men would. Why is God stressing for the men to worship God? Because, brothers, when you start worshiping God, when you start praising God as a man, God inhabits your praise and he sets up a throne in your house. The reason why there's so much chaos and damage and destruction in the home is because many men have lost their praise. You want to see your kids stop wilding out? Praise the Lord. You want to see your wife get it together? Praise the Lord. You want to see your whole family flip to the opposite side and start following the right path? Men of God, it behooves you to praise the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Psalm 135, 1 through 3. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, oh, you servants of the Lord. You who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of your God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant. That means every one of us that stood to our feet today, we all have to praise the Lord. Psalm 147, 1. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praise to God. It is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. Listen, if praise is beautiful unto God, don't you want to please God? Psalm 150, every single verse, Brother Brian read it today, every single verse in that chapter says, praise the Lord. In fact, 13 times the Bible in that chapter alone says, praise the Lord. I call it the baker's dozen. You know when you go to get a dozen Krispy Kremes? I haven't had a dozen Krispy Kremes in ages, praise God. But if you go out and get a dozen rolls, all right, let's talk about rolls, all right? Come on, bro. All right, because she's got me on lockdown. No more donuts for Pastor. Hallelujah. But praise God for my wife. She's trying to save me. Hallelujah. Save me from myself. How about this? If you get 12 carrot sticks, amen. Well, a baker's dozen is 13 carrot sticks. They throw a little one on top for you, a freebie. 13 times, the baker's dozen, it says, praise the Lord. Verse 1 and 2, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Listen, if you come into church and you got stank face, I'm talking Ebonics now. If you got stinky face on you, wipe it off, shake it off, but praise the Lord. You come into the courts of the living God and you come in some kind of terrible, funky attitude, you better change direction. You better turn the frown upside down. Hallelujah. You better give him some praise like your life depends on it. Coming in here and giving God tainted worship. Get it together. Praise God. Praise him, for he is good. Listen, you got breath in your body. You were able to drive into the house of God. That alone is reason to praise the Lord. Every day above ground is a good day. Even behind the clouds, the sun is still shining. There is power in praise. Paul and Silas in Acts 16. Listen, they were beaten up half to death. They were stripped naked. They were down to their drawers. They were thrown in a dungeon. There were probably stinky dead carcasses down there. There was no light. They were tied up and chained, and they were beaten half to death. And what did they do? They had a praise and worship service. It's crazy. Listen, they had no idea how they were going to be delivered. Many of you don't know how this storm is going to pass. Many of you don't know how God is going to do it. Paul and Silas surely didn't know how, but one thing they knew the God that they serve was going to show up on the scene. I don't know how he's going to do it. That ain't my concern. My concern, my job is to praise the Lord. And over there, they're having a praise and worship service, and they're telling the devil, ooh, you gonna get it. Hallelujah. Ooh, you gonna get it. Praise God. My God is gonna deliver me. Ooh, you don't know what you started up in here, up in here. I'm about to be set free. These chains can't hold me down. I serve a mighty God. Woo-ha! I don't know if you know him, but I know him, and I ain't scared of you, devil. I'm going to praise my way. You think you got me locked down? You don't know who you're messing with. My daddy's going to defend me. Hallelujah. And you're going to see for yourself the glory of God. All of a sudden, earthquake. Hallelujah. The earthquake happens and the doors bust open and the chains fall off. And the jail man, the jailer says, oh my God, I'm doomed. I'm a dead man. I might as well take out my sword and execute myself. What did Paul and Silas say? Yo, don't do it. We're still here. We're not done praising the Lord. Why don't you join in with us? We're at verse number 2. We're about to go into the bridge. Take it to the bridge. Take it to the bridge. Hey, hey, woo, hey, woo, hey. Take it to the bridge, right? When you're worshiping God, you ain't scared of no chains. You ain't scared of no storms. Do you know why it's important to praise the Lord? Because when you praise Him, you're not dwelling upon the problem. You're focusing on the problem solver. You don't know how. You just know He's going to do it. Why? Because God starts in the positive, and God ends in the positive. The middle is your test. Okay, I'm going to say it so the people in the back row can hear me. God starts in the positive, and He ends in the positive. The middle is your test. How you fight is going to determine how you end. If you know God is in the positive, then He's going to work it out for you. So while you're waiting, 1 Thessalonians, in every circumstance, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. When you go through storms, instead of crying in defeat, cry out to the Lord in praise. When you're going through the fire, fear not, fret not. You have been made free in Jesus. When you are stricken, afflicted, or wounded, worship and watch the Lord work it out for you. Sister Ceci, if you're tuning in, you're healed, sister, in the name of Jesus. Cameron, you are healed in the name of Jesus. Healing in the wings for you today. Hallelujah, Pastor Daisy, you already healed. Sister Latoya, look at me. You're healed. You're healed. We got to praise our way. Don't manifest. Praise God. One of the greatest examples, there are many, but one of the greatest examples in the life of anyone is in the life of David. David knew how to praise the Lord. As a matter of fact, he wrote the book on praising God. In the field as a little shepherd boy, when he was alone, abandoned, and it seemed like he was forgotten, he praised the Lord. When the lion and the bear came to devour the sheep, he slew them and praised the Lord. When he was anointed to be king, he praised the Lord. When he slew the giant with a rag and a rock, he praised the Lord. When he cut off the giant's head, he praised the Lord. When he fled from King Saul, he dared not touch him, but he praised the Lord. When he came back from to Ziklag and the battle between the armies, and he saw his wife and children that had been kidnapped, he went alone in a solitary place and kazaked himself, and he praised the Lord. When his soldiers turned on him and wanted to stone him, he praised the Lord. How about this? When he became king, he praised the Lord. When he brought the ark into Jerusalem, he praised the Lord. When his wife said, "You're tripping," And she said, you're looking all stupid and undignified. He said, woman, I'm going to get even more undignified. And he praised the Lord even harder. When the Lord told him, you've got too much blood on your hand and you cannot build the temple, he praised the Lord. When his firstborn son from Bathsheba died, he praised the Lord. On. And I can go on with Absalom. I can go on with all different types of things. All throughout his life, in the good times, in the bad, in the success, in the failure, he praised the Lord. He learned that there were certain things in life that he could never change. He had no power to control it. But whatever David had to go through, whatever God was taking him through, he just worshiped God through it. Praising God through the trials of life at some time in your life is going to seem like a very humbling act. It's going to seem like a dying act of surrender. But we have to get to a place where we recognize this trial is above my comprehension. I don't understand it. I don't know how I'm going to come over this one. I don't know. All I know is one thing. Praise the Lord. That's all I know, and that's what I'm going to do. Listen, your problem, your trial, your sickness, your infirmity, your problem, your war, your battle is nothing to the Lord. It's nothing to God. So why not just praise him through it? Because you know that God has it. The Bible, listen to this. This is so powerful. Psalm 50, verse 23. It says, whoever offers praise glorifies me. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. If that ain't going to make you want to run around this room like a wild Indian, hallelujah, I don't know what is. If you order your conduct, if you praise him because you know him, if you glorify him through your storm, he said he's going to show the salvation of God. You see, some of you believe that word and you already live in it. But others are saying, man, I don't know why he talks like that because that doesn't work for me. You know why? Because you're too busy not praising God. This is so simple to me. Like a caveman could understand this. It's like the Geico commercial. You can't miss this. It is simple. If you put it into practice, what happens, Pastor, when I don't feel like praising God? You know, I hear what you're saying, Pastor, but sometimes, let's be honest, I just don't want to do it. Ain't nobody going to make me praise the Lord. I come to church when I feel like it. Ain't nobody going to make me go to church. Stay home then. Let's see how that works out for you. As for me and my house, right here, boom. I'll tell you a truth too. This is for the parents. This is free. This one's free. You don't have to pay for this one. If you have your friends and they say, Mom, can my friend come to my house and spend the weekend? Sure, son. But you tell his parents or let me get their number because they're coming to church with me on Sunday. If you're in my house, you're going to church. This whole thing about people shacking up in your house and being in your house, but they don't want to come to church, problem. You in my house, you coming to church. If you don't like it, peace out, move. Deuces. Because as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you don't set a righteous standard, then it will never happen. Son, is that not true? This is how this church got started. We started having church for 6 months, and my son said, Dad, can I invite my friend? Sure. Dad, can I invite my friend? Sure. Next thing you know, there's friends, there's parents, there's 15, 25 people in my house. The stairwell is full of people. The garage is full of people. The bathroom is full of people. The hallway is full of people. Said, we got to go. We got to find somewhere to go. We went to the Holiday Inn, and then that got full. Then we went to the Pocatello Firehouse, and that got full. Then we went to 1283 Dolson Town Road, and we got kicked out. And then we came here, and we're at 11 certified, and we're about to be kicked out here too. Hallelujah. No, they think they're kicking us out. They're not kicking us out. But I'm telling you the truth. Listen, God is above this house. If I got to set up in the street and put my speakers out there, I'll set up in the street. Listen. God is faithful. He's a rewarder of those that earnestly seek him. As long as this is Albert and Frankie Evangelical Church, we're dead. We're doomed. But if it's Jesus' church, Soul Purpose Evangelical, the house that he built, right? Whoever builds, builds in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, he that labors, labors in vain. Glory to God. The gates of hell shall not prevail. What happens when I don't feel like praising God, Pastor? I'll tell you what you do. You offer up a sacrifice of praise. Let the fruit of the lips confess his name. What does that mean, sacrifice of praise? That means when your body don't want to do it, you do it anyway. You say, flesh, submit. Hallelujah. Spirit of God, rise up within me and worship the Lord like you got some sense. Give him the fruit of your lips. That means don't just offer up a little praise, a baby praise. Give him the depth of your soul. Do you know some of the greatest times in my life have been when I didn't want to come to church? You see, you guys, you have a little bit of flexibility. I'm going to tell you why. Because when you have bubble guts and you feel like I got to stay near the bathroom, I can't go to church. My stomach is acting up. I got a little. My head is not right. Oh, I've worked so hard this week. I think I'm going to stay home and relax. I need to do some self-care. I need to give myself some love. You know what? Let me get my nails done. Let me get my hair did. Let me just dial myself and let me get a massage. Because I need to be pampered. Well, you go ahead and do that. But me, I got to be in the house of God. You know why? Because if I stay home, I'll backslide. Maybe nobody else is saying it. If I stay home for too long, I'll look backwards. Luke 9:62 said, he that puts his hand to the plow and turns back and say, wow, look at all that stuff I just did. I planted a whole 20 seeds. I could take a rest. He that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for service in the kingdom of God. That means you keep on plowing. Hallelujah. About face. Rip. Keep on plowing. Keep on plowing. Hup. Hey, keep on plowing. Through. Right? You keep plowing. There's no time to look back. There's too much that needs to be done. I'm sorry, Minister Jill. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look at Job. Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Pastor, you're nuts. You must be crazy. You're telling me to praise the Lord even in sickness? Yup. You're telling me to praise the Lord when I got fired? Yup. Even more than when you get fired. You're telling me to praise the Lord in every situation? Yup. You know why? The Bible says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that God is up to good on your behalf. Listen, in most cases, if you got fired, I'm just talking in most cases, it's not because of the job, it's because of you. Oh, y'all, you think I came here to play with y'all? Listen, if you got fired 9 times out of 10, it's because you were late. It's because you probably didn't do what you were supposed to do. You weren't productive. And for some of those reasons, you probably deserve to get fired. That's the truth. So how else will you learn to work harder the next time unless you go through the test? But if you got fired unjustly, don't worry, God's going to work out your cause. But even if you got fired, this is the goodness of God, that even in that, he'll teach you a lesson, right? Because he says he chastises those that he loves, and he takes you from glory to glory. Even if it's your mistake, guess what? Your next job, you're going to land even better. You're going to get even more money. You're going to say, man, why was I tripping? Look at where I ended up. It's so much better. Why? Because if you learn your lessons and praise God through the storm, he said, I will show my salvation upon you. I'm talking to somebody in this place. Look at Daniel in the lion's den. Can you imagine being thrown in a den full of hungry lions? It worked out just lovely. Look at Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. There was a fourth one, like the sun of the morning. There was one that looked like the sun shining in the fire. They were having a praise session in the flames. And the king said, wait a minute, didn't we throw three of them in there? Who's that fourth brother? Look at Joshua. Look at Joshua and the armies of Israel. Look at them at Jericho, all the bricks falling down. How did the bricks fall down? By praising the Lord. Look at Jehoshaphat. He had the praise worship team in the front of the army. He said, we don't even have to fight. The worshipers are going to worship God. They're going to lead us in song. His mercy endures forever. Oh, his mercy endures forever. Peace out. His mercy endures forever. Hey, his mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. Now, dead bodies everywhere. His mercy endures forever. Picking up gold, picking up silver, picking up jewels. His mercy endures. 3 days, I got no more strength. His mercy. And then they go to camp. They bring the stuff back, and they have another praise and worship service in the camp. His mercy endures forever. Read it. It's there. 2 Chronicles. Hallelujah. Unbelievable. You're not going to believe this. His mercy endures forever just came on my phone. And my phone is muted. It's muted. You hear what I'm saying? Hey, hallelujah. Make me want to run around the room. It's better to praise than to panic. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It's easy to praise God when things are going good, but it's not so easy when they're not. There are many panic producers, problems with health, family, finances, people. Panic only deepens when you're going through that stuff. So how can we praise God, Pastor? How can we praise God when we're set in panic mode? This is how you do it. You remember first and foremost that you are loved by an everlasting God. You have to remember that God delights in blessing you, that God is moved when you praise him, that God is positive. It's better to praise God than to be pessimistic. I was talking about this on Wednesday. There is no pessimism or ungratefulness in the kingdom of God. Pessimism seems to be a way of life for some people. Fault finding is their go-to thing. They are the gripers, the complainers of the group, the negative Nellies, the Debbie Downers, the long-faced Leroys, the pouting Patties, and I can go on and on and on. Pessimism is the opposite of faith. Pessimism is actually doubting in action, right? Faith without deeds is dead. Well, when you're pessimistic, you're doubting in action. It's a faith killer. Pessimism says, I don't believe God can fix this. It sounds like the children of Israel. They were pessimistic, and they walked for 40 years in the desert, passing the same tree. Hey, didn't we pass this tree already? Again, this seems like the same tree. And 40 years! Didn't we pass this tree? I remember that little notch on the tree. 40 years. The Bible says in Romans 1:17, the word of God calls us to live by faith and not by sight. When you walk in faith, you're going to know that Christ will enable you to expect the best from him because all things work together for good. It is better to praise God than to be problem conscious. The entire world has problems. We all have challenges. Every single one of us goes through drama, llama, ding, dong. We all get it. Nobody's perfect. You know why? Because we're all affected by the fall of man. All of us. But we do not have to focus on what is wrong. Paul gives us a great way to fix that problem. Philippians 4. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. That means no complaints. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You need to have that memorized, highlighted in your Bible somewhere. Philippians 4, 6 through 8. That's a big one. Do you know why? Because only a grateful person can truly praise the Lord. Thanksgiving is the very essence of praise. Satan has zero defense against a praiser. He is utterly defeated. Praise is built on truth. Satan is a lie. This is why it's so important when God says he is looking to those that worship him in spirit and truth. John 4, 23, 24. He said, the time is coming and it is now when true worshipers will worship him in spirit and truth. If God is spirit, then we who are his have to worship him as he is in spirit and truth. Praising God, it literally destroys the powers of the principalities. It tears down strongholds. It exacts vengeance of God against the kingdom of darkness. Praising Christians cause panic and confusion to Satan's ranks. I can go on this quite at length, but Mark 5, the 2,000 demons that were in the man, the demoniac, even the demons bowed down and worshiped the Lord. And what happened is that worship, it even confused the demons because they went into a legion of pigs and then they committed suicide. The pigs ran off the cliff. That means they worked against themselves. When you start praising God, it brings confusion to the ranks of the enemy. 2 Chronicles 20, we just talked about it. The people of God, they were facing three armies. And when they began to praise and worship God, God sent an ambush and the three enemies began to slaughter each other. And by the time they got on the field, all the bodies were dead. If you want to see heaven on earth, then you must do on earth what is already being done in heaven. And what is that, Pastor? Praising the Lord. The angels cry out every day, every night, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So many people, especially now, are led by fear and not faith. We might react more to what might be around the corner than by the promises of God. I love this quote from a guy named Pastor Marcus Breaching. It says, fear is the prophecy of the devil. Isn't that good? Listen to this. Fear is the false forecast that God will prove unfaithful. So if you think about it, if you're fearing, all you're doing is setting yourself up for failure. Praising God refocuses you from the problem and puts you on the mountain of God, on Mount Zion. It gives you an aerial view like an eagle. It gives you a full view of everything. You do not need to fear evil. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know that you are never alone. God is always with you. The devil is already defeated. Change your focus. Change your outlook. I like this illustration. It says there was a Native American walking down the street with a businessman. He stopped and said, "Listen, listen." "For what?" the businessman said. "Do you hear it?" "Hear what?" the businessman replied. "Do you hear it?" Hear what? What are you saying? What are you talking about?" He says, "The crickets. Crickets." "No, I don't hear no crickets." The Native American tried to help the businessman focus on the sound of the crickets. He says, "Can't you hear it? It's getting louder. It's getting so loud. Oh, they're just so loud right now." The businessman said, "I don't hear anything." The Native American looked around, and right below them was a little cricket. He went down and picked it up and held it in his hand. The businessman looked shocked. He said, "I can't believe it. Here we are in a downtown metropolis with people everywhere, and you and I are speaking, and there's cars everywhere and horns everywhere, but you could hear a cricket. I don't know how you just did that." The Native American reached into his pocket, and he took out some change, and he threw the change on the ground. 20 people all stopped at once and looked down at the change. He looked at the businessman and told him, "You always hear what you are tuned into. You are tuned into money, so you will always hear a penny drop. I am tuned into nature. I hear little crickets." A lot of Christians miss the small voice of God because they are tuned in to the wrong things. Psalm 40, verse 3, we sang it this morning. "He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord." Has God put a new song in your mouth? Let me ask you a different question. Do you have a testimony? Sometimes a lack of heartfelt praise is due to a lack of testimony. Sometimes people can't praise God because they don't know what to praise Him for. Saved, sanctified, delivered, and healed Christians have much to be grateful for. We're too grateful to be silent. We don't care who's looking at them. We just want to express our love to God. I was talking on Wednesday about my grandchildren. If anyone has seen me around my grandbabies, yes, they own me. They could put spit on me, boogers, vomit. I don't care. Those are battle scars of my love. Yeah, my wife says, "You're crazy, dude." They listen to her. She's like, "No, you ain't going to do that with me." And my little granddaughter, "Okay, you got me." Pick her up, and boom, I'm walking around 5 blocks because she don't want to walk. And I'm sweating profusely. My wife's like, "Put her down. She could walk." I'm like, "No." And then when I'm around people, I'm go. And everybody's like, "What's wrong with this man?" But we were in Pearl Harbor, and there was a couple, an older couple. I'm sure they could relate. And I'm looking at my little grandbaby, and I'm holding her, I'm this and that, and she's playing, and we're Googling and goggling. And I say, "You own me." And they looked at me and said, "I can see why she owns you. Who could resist that cute little face?" Right? But here's the thing. When you love God like that, and when you say, "God, you own me. I'm yours and you are mine." When you start worshiping God, they say something's real about that relationship. They really have a love thing going on. When you love God like that and you express your love, the world sees it and they know there's a genuine love between you and God. And guess who else sees it? The devil. Hell sees your love for God, and hell runs in terror because when they see a true servant of the Most High God worshiping God, they can't stay in the midst. That's why the Bible says, "Many will see it and fear you, Lord, because they will put their trust in you." I'm going to end today's message with quick 5 points. Everybody hears a word, "Oh, no, he's going in." 5 points. No, quick. Hallelujah. This is my first close. Five benefits of praise. You can write these down. When you praise the Lord, you worship God. You are bringing down His presence because He inhabits the praises of His people. Number two, when you praise the Lord, you invoke His power. That means nothing limits you from what you're going through because now you yashab the Lord. That means you allow Him to sit down on your problem and He now takes over. It's a concert for the King. Hallelujah. He sends an earthquake to deliver you like He did for Paul and Silas. Number three, you invoke His glory. When you praise and worship God, the glory of God comes down. It's like a cloud that fills the temple. Number four, when you praise the Lord, you praise, worship God, the anointing of God descends upon His servants. And it is because of this that they are able to minister to others more effectively while being ministered by the Spirit themselves. Number five, His deliverance. When you praise and worship God, the delivering power of God comes into play. God comes down to deliver His people as they praise and worship Him. Amen. Someone, let's get Sister Donna to come up. Oh, there you go. Praise God. This is my final closing. Hallelujah. He who lacks praise lacks joy. He who lacks worship lacks relationship. He who does not praise God really doesn't know God. He who is praiseless is spiritually dead. He who won't praise God is probably already rebelling against God and doing so at their own peril. Why not instead just praise Him today? Why not trust Him? He is a good God, full of love, abounding in mercy, full of abundant life. Praise is powerful. Praise demonstrates faith. Praise opens up doors of witness to others. Praise releases the favor of God. And I end here. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Glory to God. Saints, God bless you in this place.
We are so grateful to God for allowing us the opportunity to share this message with you. Thank you for listening. We want you to know that you are all in our constant prayers. If you've been blessed by today's program, why not consider partnering with us? To make a donation is easy. You can visit us online at www.specchurch.net, or you can call us at 845-956-0133. Once again, that's www.specchurch.net or 845-956-0133. We invite you to worship with us one Sunday morning soon. Thank you again for your prayers and support. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you.